Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Hey guys, are you looking for a new podcast to listen to? Something a little on the geeky side, but lots and lots of fun with some crazy dudes? Well, have I got something for you. It's called the Vitamin Geek Podcast. I'm the host, Corey Keelan, and I'm here with my friends, Eric Williams.
What's up?
Patrick Sykes.
Greetings, everyone.
And Michael Zippy Miller.
Hey there.
We're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. Horror movies, science fiction. We love Star Wars. Who doesn't love Star Wars? If you don't like Star Wars, get the hell off of here. Check us out, man. Vitamin Geek Podcast right here on the ESO Network.
It's all part of the plan.
Hello, and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show Podcast. I am your host, The Monster, back to give you, yes, I know, I get it. It's another late podcast on sci-fi news. I know. Trust me, I know. So, it is now, by the time I guess this release, maybe Wednesday, which is going to be at least 5 days old. But nonetheless, it's still valid information that you, the listener to this podcast, have chosen to listen to. So let me get into a couple of quick tidbits. So a couple of things. Netflix has canceled Sense8, which I've only seen the first episode, which I liked, and I really should have gotten into it. But again, there's just way too many things that are out there to watch, and I was hoping to eventually catch up. But nonetheless, only 2 seasons of Sense8. We also have, also on Netflix, supposedly the new Netflix Punisher series is going to be scheduled for November of this year, but I haven't received official confirmation, but that looks like to be the time for it to be released for all of us. So again, I'm happy for that. It's a great character that Netflix was able to introduce in Daredevil Season 2. Considering how it kind of faltered, I'm glad that Punisher is getting his own series. And Supergirl. In the last episode, I talked about this in the season finale for Supergirl. The second ship that made it to Earth, or supposedly is heading to Earth, is a new villain called Rein. And not in R-A-I-N, but R-E-I-G-N. Rein. So I have to do some research because I've never heard of this character, but that's who's going to be the villain for next season. So, interesting stuff. But put that all aside, because I have news about who the new director of Godzilla vs. King Kong is going to be. I'm going to talk about the new VR game, the Star Trek VR game. Even though I don't have it, I can still talk about it, right? And also, I'm going to be talking about, finally, the Twin Peaks, The Return, episodes 1 and 2, since it was combined together. I will talk about the first 2 episodes of Twin Peaks. So, yes. So, let's get started. Director of the new movie, Godzilla vs. King Kong, his name is Adam Wingard. And honestly, I haven't heard of him before because he's basically an indie director, which it seems to be a trend that Legendary Pictures is doing, because if you remember the first Godzilla movie that Gareth Edwards did, he went on to do great work with that, as well as doing the Star Wars Rogue One. And if you saw Monsters before Godzilla, you know who he is, So they had a winner there. And then we also had another director for Kong Skull Island. His name is Jordan Vogt Roberts. And supposedly he is going to be producing or making the Metal Gear Solid movie. So we'll see what happens with that. So with Adam, he's done movies, again, really small budget, but the most notable one, the last two, is going to be, he did a sequel to the Blair Witch Project, which came out last year, and he has produced and directed the new Netflix live-action Death Note, which is an anime manga series, which is now a live-action movie. So that's going to be coming out. With Adam now attached to this, we're not going to see this movie for quite a while. Again, it's coming out in 2020, but he's locked in. And it's kind of a cool thing that they're already planned this out, but many times it can backfire, in which you would have an independent director like Josh Trank, who did a movie called Chronicle, in which it was kind of like a documentary in which it was a mise-en-scene, the camera capturing the action as is, and in which these teens somehow get superpowers during, I think it was some kind of lightning storm or something like that. It's been a while. But because of that, he went on to direct the Fantastic Four movie, which unfortunately bombed. And there were problems on the set with him and with the movie itself. So you can have something like that kind of blow up in your face, considering how much I really like Chronicle. And then, yeah, I would have chosen him to go ahead and produce a superhero movie, because that's what he did, but on a smaller scale with Chronicle. So not every director that is working independently is going to be a home run. So for me, now that I know something about Adam, I'm definitely going to have to watch the sequel to the Blair Witch Project, which kind of looked from the trailer like the original, or it kind of mirrored a lot of the same elements. So I'm just curious what was going on with that. And then when Death Note comes out, of course, I'm going to check that as well. So, but nonetheless, I'm having faith in what Legendary Pictures has done so far with their movie. So, and again, they invested a lot in creating this Monsterverse. So I don't think they're going to let this fall by the wayside. But again, anything could still happen to the last moment. We still got 3 years to go. So again, we'll see what happens. All right, so the next thing I'm going to be talking about is, since E3 is actually coming up this month, there was information about the Star Trek game that was announced last year at E3 was called Star Trek Bridge Crew, in which you and up to 4 players can play out in VR that environment of a Star Trek crew that's on the bridge. So in this case, it's the USS Aegis. And basically, you take up different points like helm or tactical or engineering, and of course, a captain's chair. So it definitely looks kind of cool. But for me, I'm not sure how I would feel with the goggles on my head, since even though I do the cheapy goggle, the Google cardboard and put my phone in there, I still can still feel motion sickness if I move too fast. But I think the concept itself looks kind of cool. So on the onset, when I saw someone doing a video of the game playing, and it's like joining in a game in which you do, like, say, you know, you're ready to play and you get different players with you, you're talking to them in real time, and I guess then you decide what you're planning to do or what's the role of everyone in as far as the gameplay. So basically, it's Dungeons and Dragons, but you're doing it virtually. And this is just happens to be the Star Trek universe, which, oddly enough, I forgot to mention, there is a Borg edition Star Trek Dungeons and Dragons kind of game system, which I really would like to play and get that, because it's a really cool case. Like, the whole thing is a Borg cube, and then you pull out and you get the DM screen and then all the information, all the cards and the dice. Looks really cool. All right, so enough of that. Going back to the game itself, now, since I don't have a PS4 or any of the other consoles that plays this game, I'm just relying on someone else's experience. And from what I'm looking at, it looks fantastic. It really does. I mean, you cannot feel any more immersive than what you're dealing right now. Now, of course, with, again, my situation of being motion sickness very easily, I'm sure you can minimize the swishing of back and forth with your head. But nonetheless, the other question I have is, because I have glasses, how much of that is going to be a problem? Because, you know, watching, let's say, a 3D movie, having that on top of my glasses actually does give me a headache, not because of the 3D, but because of the pinching on the side of the head. So again, I have to see which headgear works best and for what the gameplay is going to be. So it doesn't look too aggressive in the gameplay other than you're limited to your movement. So you're not over-exaggerating or having to fight a lot of things at the exact same time. And if there is, which I don't see yet in the gameplay, I'm sure it's not going to be at breakneck speed in which you're constantly moving your head left and right or up and down or whatever it is, because then that will ruin the gameplay. But again, looking at the VR side, who would not want to be in that situation? I know I would be. And if it's an open world, that'd be kind of cool. Like, for example, like No Man's Sky mixed with Star Trek, in which it's endless. And if it does that, that's what I would be really gung-ho for. So if you have, you know, a good crew that you like and you come back again and again and meet up for different adventures, that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. But if it's going to be specific to missions that are tied in which the gameplay only goes forward like a linear fashion, then maybe, you know, I'm not one to complete any kind of video game. I suck at it to begin with, especially now as I'm getting older. So I don't see myself spending that many amount of hours and just completing a game from beginning to end and then that's it. I'd rather have something that's open like No Man's Sky and just keep it forever going. So, and best of all, you can play this as a one player as well. Of course, I think you have to kind of hop around to different stations, so you're kind of telling yourself what to do, whatever. But nonetheless, I'm going to see as E3 comes closer if I can get more information or contact my cousin, since he has the gear for that, and get his thoughts on it. So if I do, I'll play that on the next podcast. So nonetheless, I think it's a cool game. And again, it's been delayed, but it looks like it's now finally released after all this time. So in about 2 weeks, E3 will happen, and I will do my best to give you a review of the major things that I saw. Not that I'm going, but I'm just talking about saw on the internet. And talk about the usual suspects, the Microsoft and Sony, and a couple of independent game makers. So enough of that. All right, so since I'm at work, I'm going to take a break because I have to finish up watching the Twin Peaks first two episodes. But when I do, I will give you my take on what it's all about. All right, so it's been 25 years later. That's a long time. That's practically half my life, 25 years ago. I was 25. Imagine that. So, a lot has happened since that time in which I watched the first two seasons of Twin Peaks when it was on regular TV. ABC was the one that played it. There was no internet at that time, so it was must-see TV. Even though that's the wrong channel for that. That was NBC, I think. Must-see TV. Anywho, so I love Twin Peaks. First season was amazing. The cast of characters for television was really unprecedented. And then the whole mystery about who killed Lauren Palmer was kind of resolved pretty early on in season two, because one of the notes that I guess ABC were trying to get more viewers is that this is going on way too long and you're not resolving anything. Well, when they did that, they then had to come up with another storyline to kind of continue season two, and they really kind of floundered after it was revealed. And of course, spoiler alert, if you have not seen Twin Peaks, that the killer of Laura Palmer is her father, Leland. But technically, he was possessed by a killer spirit named Bob. Flash forward to the end of the episode, or the end of the season two. We have Bob inhabiting the body of Agent Cooper. And when Cooper sees himself in the mirror, he smashes his forehead, and then we see the image of Bob in the cracked mirror, and then Agent Cooper, who's bleeding and is laughing. And that was it. So we do get, in the beginning of Twin Peaks The Return, the scene in which, prior to the season ending, he has a vision, or he's in the Black Lodge, in which he sees Laura Palmer, and he is told that he will see her again in 25 years. So hence, the series now 25 years later. So, I had no idea this would ever happen, but it did. I watched the Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me, in which is the prequel to Twin Peaks. I listened to the audiobook for Agent Cooper, which is the tapes he recorded to his assistant Diane. I also read the diary of Laura Palmer. I loved the music by Angela Balamante, Julie Cruz singing the theme song Falling, which is what you hear in the beginning of the Twin Peaks series. So, going into this, after so much time has elapsed, will I still remember what had happened? Well, right off the bat, again, this is just the first two episodes, we kind of get the replay of that scene that we saw in season two at the very beginning. And then we have a couple of flashbacks to when you see the girl, a high school girl, running in the courtyard, screaming, because they just found out that their classmate Laura Palmer has been killed. You see the school again, and then the camera focuses on the, I guess, like a prom picture of Laura Palmer, which was always ending every show. And then the music plays, and then there we are. We're back in Twin Peaks. And we see Dr. Jacobs, who was the psychologist that was treating Laura Palmer, getting some kind of shipment of shovels. What that's for, who knows? And then it gets weirder. Then we go to New York City, in which there's a guy who is watching this empty, clear box with lights and cameras set up all around it. And his job is to make sure that it's all the cameras are recording. So every once in a while, he has to take out the SDI card from each camera and replaces it with fresh new memory. And all he does is that he is to watch that box. And it just lingers, like creepy David Lynch lingering. You don't know what the hell it is, but it's kind of like, if you know his style, he likes to linger and he likes to have images and sound play till it's full hilt. So it does come into play later on, which I'll get to in a moment. But there is, I guess, a friend of his who is interested in him. She tries to visit him one time to watch whatever this is. It's in that loft area, but the security guard tells him he can't. She tries the next day, and he's not there. The security guard is not there, so the two of them go inside, and it's obvious that she has feelings for him, so the two of them start making out, and then they're starting to have sex, and then all of a sudden, an apparition appears in the box. The box kind of darkens, and there's an apparition inside that box that looks like it's trapped. And then somehow it breaks out and kills the both of them. So that goes that. Then we go into the Black Lodge. I'm sorry, not the Black Lodge. Sorry, it's the Great Northern, the hotel that Ben Horn is still running. And we see, I guess, a new character. I don't remember his brother. His name is Jerry. And Ashley Judd is in it as his secretary for Ben. So I'm like, okay, we'll see how that goes. And then we kind of flash forward a bit. We get Lucy back at the police department, and very much in keeping with her character, being slightly off, if I want to be nice about it. But again, I used to have a crush on Lucy just because I liked the actress. And there was some kind of insurance agent that was looking for her, looking for the sheriff. And she was asking the question, well, which one do you want to see? The sheriff that called out sick or the sheriff that is out fishing? Which, all right, Lucy, just I'll let that be. But then after that, we get into this night shot and this creepy music and this car that's driving in the woods, and we get our first take of the dark Agent Cooper. It's kind of weird because he's got long hair, he's got black eyes, and he's going to some shack to meet with a couple of people, and he looks oily, if I'm going to be nice about it. So it looks weird, but basically, I guess 25 years later, the killer Bob is what is still inhabiting Agent Cooper's body. So he's definitely not himself. So there is this next scene in which, I'm not sure how this will tie in, there's a woman who was found to be killed in her apartment, and her eye was shot out, but her head was not on the body that they found in the apartment because it belonged to someone else. And it looked bloated, but it looked like to be a male body on with a female head. So, again, it gets even more convoluted as to who committed this murder and how this is all tying in to Twin Peaks. I still don't know. But as the story progresses, we do get a scene with Deputy Hawk getting a call from the log lady, who is basically making sure that he's being careful, but something's happening in which he says that he's been missing, or there's some kind of connection that he's out in the woods looking for something. So again, when I'm watching this, it gets even weirder because then we finally go back into the Black Lodge and we see the much older now Laura Palmer and the much older Agent Cooper. And of course, they're doing the whole kind of like backwards talking, or at least their actions are going backwards where they're talking normally going forward. So it's always disjointing to watch something like this. And then we get this talking arm thing. It looks like just the nerve endings of an arm with a kind of like a brain thing. So it gets even more confusing and more creepy. But basically, it seems as if Agent Cooper is looking to get out, but I guess he can't because the doppelganger is not the killer Bob back in the Black Lodge, but I think he was supposed to go back for what reason, I don't know. And it gets weird because before we get that scene in which the guy and the girl that were killed, that were watching the box, Agent Cooper kind of flies into that box. Of course, no one's there to see any of this. And he's hovering in there, so I guess he is trying to break over or cross over to the other side. I'm sure it will make sense eventually. But then we kind of flash to the bar that has seen, I think it's the double R bar, if I remember correctly, that is in the original series. And we have Shelley and James Hurley. Of course, they're much older now, but they're at the Roadhouse, and, you know, they just have like a quick moment. And then in the background, you hear a band called the Chromatics playing their song called Shadows, which I really, really like a lot. Just like when Julie Cruz sings, and she was actually in the series for season 2. I love that song that she played, but this song is very much in keeping with the tone with Twin Peaks. And honestly, after just watching the 2 episodes, and really the second half, the second episode really gets more creepy because of the whole Black Lodge scene. Okay. It's weird. Like David Lynch. So if you know his stuff, and if you watch Twin Peaks, it's still on the exact same level, but you don't know where this is going to. Because, except for a couple of quick shots in Twin Peaks, for the most part, we don't see a whole lot of characters that we've seen from the past shows, except for, again, Agent Cooper, and actually Leland makes an appearance also in the Black Lodge. And, of course, Laura Palmer, and then we have James and Shelley. So, and the Log Lady, and then Hawk, and of course, we have Andy and Lucy. And of course, Ben. So, there's still a lot of people that we still haven't seen yet. And the big one is going to be Audrey Horne. So, who I do have a crush on, and reminds me of someone in a lot of respects, because the mannerisms that she did in the first 2 seasons were very identical. So it's kind of eerie to see what this person will look like 25 years later. But I'm curious to see how it all plays out. So after 2 episodes, is this something that I would recommend? I say that you really have to like Twin Peaks and to appreciate David Lynch and that universe that he has created. Otherwise, you have no idea what the hell is going on. I still don't know what the hell is going on or where this is going. But I'm willing to go forward with this series because we still have, I have 2 down, so I have 16 more to go, and they're doing this weekly. So it's going to run through until sometime in September. I'm okay. I'm glad it's back on. I'm very eager to see how this all plays out. And will it be complete? Or are we going to leave things open? Or are we going to get more Twin Peaks after this? I think you should make it complete. Let's end the story after the 18th episode. And you can rebox the whole season 1 and 2 and now 3. Put in the Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me. You know, you give it the ultimate Twin Peaks treatment for fans. And I think you should just leave it at that. I think we've done enough to reward fans who've been keeping this franchise alive. I remember even the Wrapped in Plastic magazine that I used to love reading. So that also kept the franchise alive. So I'm all for this series. And I think, and as I've commented already before, Since there is a great deal of material that's out there, I don't think it can go any further than the nostalgia factor, in which fans will just watch a series out of respect. But after that, I don't think you can do anything more to this series that will make it so that it's the most watched series. It's not Game of Thrones. It's not that kind of quality in which people start talking about it and cannot get enough of it. I think, again, because of David Lynch and his weirdness that he is, you can appreciate for what he does, but not everyone is going to get it. I'm happy with it. Again, I don't know where this is going. I don't know how everything's going to tie in together, but I'm along for the ride, and I'm glad to have this after a 25-year absence. So we shall see how it all plays out, and I'm pretty sure I'll do a review at the very end of the series finale, and I'll talk about it some more. So again, I recommend it, but only if you are a true Twin Peaks fan. And I think you should at least watch the first two seasons rather than jumping in confusing, even for a diehard fan for me. Alright, so that does it for me. And as you can hear, I'm playing the Twin Peaks song in the background, but that's the new song by the Chromatics called Shadow. So, again, can't get enough of that song. So, thank you for listening to this podcast. Follow me on the various social networks. You can always email me at monstersciFiShow@gmail.com. So, thank you again for listening to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. Sci-Fi from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.